from 2 Kings. If the earth is destroyed and we're all in heaven, heaven is infinitely better than the earth, I'm okay with that. There's probably great fishing in heaven as well. I'm okay with all of that. But there is a difference of opinion on what happens when the earth is burned up. But notice he says it's coming to an end. This era is coming to an end. It's coming with fervent heat. And that has an implication for us. And then thirdly, however, it's a reunion. So it's a day of judgment. It's a day of destruction. But it's also a day of reunion, because here is Jesus. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 3:13 that Jesus comes with his saints at the second coming. And so I don't know what that means to you, but what it means to me is that if you and I are alive when Jesus Christ comes back, we may see people that we have been longing to see who are in heaven coming with him. Again, there's some, we talk about the end of time, there's some fog there. But again, I like the fact that Paul says that he's coming with his saints. Whether or not the others are coming, if it's a reunion in the air or a reunion in heaven, that's okay as long as there's a reunion. And so Jesus is coming back. It's certainty. The nature of it is he's coming back in judgment. He's coming back with destruction to end this era. He's also coming back to unite with his people. Now, what are the implications for you and I? And one of the implications that Peter says is that since he's coming back, you and I ought to be holy people. Notice he says in verse 10, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? We need to be ready when he comes. We don't need to be slack. We don't need to get careless in our walk with the Lord. Remember how Jesus said it in Matthew. He said, if the workers had known when the vineyard owner was returning, they wouldn't have got drunk. They wouldn't have begun to beat each other. But they did. They got slack, and that's a parable. They got slack waiting for the vineyard owner to return or the farm owner to return, and they started to get abusive with each other, and they were not ready for his return. We need to be ready when he comes. The fact that we don't know when he's coming means that we have to be holy. We've talked about this before. If somebody is coming to your house and you know when they're coming, you don't have to be a clean person. You just got to get the house clean. You don't have to change your behavior. You just got to get it clean 30 minutes before they show up. But if they say, I'm going to drop by sometime next week, you got to change your behavior. You can't leave the socks anywhere. You can't let the dishes pile up at all. You got to have everything in its place on a constant basis, because you don't know when they're going to show up. If you know when they're going to show up, you just got to clean up. But if you don't know when they're going to show, you have to live a clean life. And we don't know when Jesus is coming back. He could come back today. He could come back next week. We don't know. So we need to be holy, and we need to be ready to meet him when he comes. Not only do we need to be holy, but we ought to be hopeful. Verse 11 or 12 here, let me find it, says that verse 12 says we ought to be looking for and hastening the return of the day of God. Now, Peter can say that because he's old. And I know what it's like to be 20 and everybody standing around saying, boy, wouldn't it be nice if the Lord came back? And you're saying, no. It'd be nice if the Lord came back. I want to get married. I want to have a job. I want to start my life. I don't want him to come back today. Let him come back when, I'm over the hill, when I'm 45 or something. Let him come back then. So I understand. I had a professor who passed away a couple years ago. He was 86 when he passed away. And in his last sermon, he was, I think, 85 or 86, but he said something comical, but I don't think I'll ever forget it. He said when he was younger, preachers were preaching a lot of sermons on the second coming of Christ, and he said they would say, don't you wish Christ would come back today? And everybody would say amen. And he said, and I was saying, no, I don't want to come back today. I got stuff to do. But he said, 86, he said, I was thinking the other day, I got nothing else left to do. And he could come back. I got nothing on my calendar that would inhibit him coming back. I'm ready. And we ought to be hopeful, he said. We ought not be fearful. We ought to be hopeful. Why? Because his coming back is, first of all, a marriage ceremony for us. I mean, when he comes back, he's coming to bring his bride and present us to the Father. It's a big day for him. It should be a big day for us. He's not coming back for misery. He's coming back so the wedding between the Son and the bride, and that's the church, can commence. That's something we ought to look forward to. He is coming back to take us with him so that we can be a part of his life. The Bible says that he's coming back to dry all tears. When he gets back, there won't be any more death. There won't be any more need for crying. There won't be any more need for grief. There won't be any more goodbyes. That's a good thing for him to come back. When he's coming back, he's going to right all the wrongs, as we said. He's going to give us justice. That's a good thing. So we ought to be looking for him to come back. It's a hopeful thing. It's a good thing that he might come back. So we ought to be holy. We ought to be hopeful. But we ought to also be unattached. Because again, he says, all of this stuff is going to be burnt up. It's going to be burnt up. So he's saying, one way to be ready for the coming of Christ then is not to be attached to the stuff that's going to be destroyed. Now, we all have to have a house to live in. We all have to have cars. We all have to have material possessions to survive that we know will be burned up. And so it's one thing to have those things, but it's another thing to be attached to those things. I hope that when we know that it's our time to go, and maybe we're there with loved ones, I hope, and it will be a sign that we did life right, that there's nothing other than the people in our life that we're attached to. Other than the people we've invested in, it doesn't matter what happens to our stuff. Wasn't that important to us? I hope the family doesn't fight over it. I hope they don't divide over it, because that would be a real shame, because it's not that important to us and it shouldn't be that important to them. We're just not attached to it. It's going to burn up. We used it. We got some pleasure out of it. But our heart wasn't in what we had. Our heart was in the people. Our heart was with the Lord. And where we're going to heaven, we're not going to need those things, and we're not going to even want those things. And again, we never did fall in love with those things, because we knew all along that they were going to be destroyed, that we couldn't take it with us. So we ought to be holy. We ought to be hopeful. We ought to be unattached. And last, we ought to be working. Again, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason he's waiting is so others will come to repentance. And so we need to be working to that. The only reason that he's not coming as fast as maybe we think that he should is so others will come to repentance. And so we need to be a working people. He's coming for sure. He's delayed, yes. When he comes, there'll be justice. There'll be a reunion. There'll be destruction of the earth. And so because he's coming, because this will happen, we ought to be holy. We ought to be hopeful. We ought to be unattached. We ought to be working. Now, everybody, I think, when you talk about the second coming, they ask, how soon do you think it is? How soon do you think it is? You know, 10 years ago, people would ask me, when do you think Christ is coming back? Nobody knows, so we're all just making assumptions here. But I was saying 10 years ago, I don't know, it could be 500 years before he comes back. I think I probably feel different about that today. You know, in Revelation chapter 20, and it'd take a long time to work out all the details of that passage, but it says that Satan is bound. Satan is bound, and I take that binding to be at the cross. I take it to be a partial binding because it says he's bound so that he can deceive the nations no more. I take it to be a partial binding at the cross so that he cannot stop the spread of the gospel throughout the world. And if you think about that, in the Old Testament, he seemed to always stop the spread of the gospel. Israel was supposed to evangelize the world, but they never got close to it. Just never got close to it. So the gospel spreads, and so it says near the end, though, Satan will be unbound. He'll be loosed. He'll go out. He'll gather all the enemies of the camp of the saints to rally against the Christians. And so the question from that passage is Satan unbound? Are we in a time when Satan is unbound? Because if he's unbound, then the time is near. And again, I don't know the answer to that in my mind, though. And again, don't take this as Bible fact. This is just an opinion. Because I don't know that anybody knows if he's unbound. But I look at what is happening in the world, and I'm not so sure that he's not unbound. It seems to me like Christians everywhere are under attack. When you think about that picture of Satan going out and getting all the enemies of Christians or all the enemies of the church and rallying them and getting them all together to fight against the church, I mean, you look around and, I mean, what does Hollywood have in common with jihadist Muslims? Except that they don't like Christians. I mean, who other than the Christians are defending the Christians in this world? And I used to sit around and say, you know, if it ever gets bad for Christians, I'll have my passport ready. And maybe I'll go to a place where it's not bad for Christians. Well, where would you go? Going to the Middle East? Going to South America? Going to Asia? You going to Russia? You going to Europe? Where are you going to go where it's easy for Christians anymore? Where are you going? And that was not that case 30, 40 years ago. You know, when you think of addiction, has it ever been easier for Satan to bind a person than it is today? Has it ever been easier for Satan to destroy a life than it is today? I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but when you think of the internet, addictions to pornography, addictions to Facebook, addictions to cell phone. When you think of not just alcohol and tobacco, if you think alcohol and tobacco are the only things people get addicted to, man, your head's in the sand. I mean, that's not even the tip of the iceberg anymore. We're talking about prescription drugs. We're talking about meth. We're talking about cocaine. We're talking about all this other stuff. Has it ever been easier for Satan to bind somebody than it is today? So the question is Satan unbound for me? And I don't know the answer to that, but if he is unbound, then the time of Christ's return, according to Revelation 20, is nearer than we think it is. Nearer than we think it is. So I don't know if that helps you or will help you sleep tonight, but that's just my opinion on the matter. And again, that's just an opinion. No man knows the hour or date when Jesus Christ will return. But we need to be ready. If it's tonight, be ready tonight. If it's 10 years from now, be ready in 10 years. If it's 500 years, well, we won't need to be ready. We'll be in heaven and we'll be coming back to greet those who have gone. But be ready. Be holy. Be hopeful. Be unattached. And let's work while it's still day. Let's work while we still have the time to see our friends and family, and not just our friends and family, but everybody. See our community come into the fold so that they'll be ready for his return. Amen. Will you stand with me?